You can't hear the cabinet.
Blog Talk Radio.
Can't hear that?
Nope.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you.
Put your heads.
Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, boys and girls, welcome to The Balance, the flagship show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We do this every Saturday, and for the next 2 hours, boys and girls, you are going to get more sports than you can handle. You're going to get your belly full. You're going to need to loosen up your sports belt. And as usual, right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how you doing today? Fantastico. Well, Josh, tell us what's going on around the NBA. Wrap us up on that because we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got to talk about the Pro Bowl, the firing of Jeff Fisher, of course, the Super Bowl coming up, and a lot of other different stuff that we've got planned for the show. We've got a very exciting show for you. Mark this number down, 917-889-8516. 917-889-8516. Would love to have you on the show. Josh, wrap us up.
Indiana Pacers beat the New Jersey Nets 124-92. Mike Dunleavy had 30 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block for the Pacers. Brook Lopez had 28 points, 1 rebound, and 1 block for the New Jersey Nets. I like tonight at the Muggets. Starting for us, he's making Pacers 17-26. The Nets got the 14-33. Patrick Grier, 5 points for the Indianapolis Star. It is time for Jim O'Brien to go to the promise. Pretty much the entire season, and he doesn't have a rotation, you know. It's simply fun time in the 76-week time to put everybody up to watch it today. Exciting game back then. I've got 22 points, 12 rebounds, basically. Brand had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Memphis was 23, and for Philadelphia, 28. 16 back, and then we're getting it.
And the Magic with the record of 30-17 right off the top four.
The four worst teams in the NBA, the Indiana Pacers at 17-26, are going nowhere, and they're going there fast. Cleveland Cavaliers 8-13, like I just said a minute ago, they're winless in the year 2011, and they've lost 19 straight games. Sacramento Kings 10-33, and the Clippers at 17-28. Most surprising team has been the Spurs at 39-7. Most disappointing has been the Indiana Pacers. The rookie of the week was Blake Griffin of the L.A. Clippers. Coach of the year is Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. And if I had to pick an MVP today, it'd be Kevin Durant of the Thunder. And if I had to tell you who'd be in the NBA Finals come June, I would tell you the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat. Now back to Tom.
All right. Thanks, Josh, for that awesome wrap-up.
Turn on my microphone, I guess. People could probably hear me a little bit better when I turn on the mic. Well, what a week it's been for some sports, especially in the NFL, getting ready for the Pro Bowl. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Pro Bowl. What are your thoughts as far as, do you have interest in the Pro Bowl? Do you not have interest in the Pro Bowl? Has it lost momentum over the years? Do you think that it should be played after the Super Bowl as opposed to before the Super Bowl? Obviously, those players that would have been in the Pro Bowl that would be with the Packers and the Steelers aren't going to be in it. They're getting ready for a bigger and better game, which reminds me, we will have a full, extended 4-hour Super Bowl show right here on Blog Talk Radio and Ustream as well. And so we're really looking forward to having that show on Super Bowl Sunday. Now, that's coming up next Sunday. Now, I think we're probably still going to do the regular show, The Balance, and then because on Sunday it's going to be nothing but Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And it's going to be one Super Sunday right here on The Balance. So glad that you're here with us today. We do this every single Saturday. You can reach us and give us a call. We'd love to talk some sports with you. 917-889-8516. And we'd love to chat with you and talk sports and hear your thoughts on the Super Bowl and your picks and so forth for the Super Bowl. Well, Josh, good week, bad week for the Titans and Jeff Fisher's. Certainly an unexpected dismissal, at least what I would expect it to be, an unexpected dismissal. I think you said it was somewhat expected. It's all really what happened. It was all over his the son not being able to be retained, Brandon Fisher not being able to be retained as a quality control coach. It was all over that. And, you know, the way I look at it is it's the NFL, and if you're good enough to be a quality control coach and the Titans didn't want to hire you, surely somebody else will hire you. Now, obviously, Jeff Fisher's not going to be without a job for very long. But, Josh, real quickly, let's break down this Jeff Fisher termination down there in Nashville. And tell me your thoughts on that, and who do you think could be a possible replacement?
Well, I think since it's so late in the offseason, I think the offensive coordinator, Mike Heimendinger, will be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. I did not think it was completely unexpected. I, however, do think that this means they are not trading Vince Young. I think this means that Bud Adams had second thoughts about trading Vince Young. And since Jeff Fisher didn't want to coach Vince Young and he had second thoughts, the Brandon Fisher makes just an excuse to fire him and save face. I think really what it comes down to is he wanted to keep, you know, Vince Young. He said that all along that he wants to keep Vince Young. He's a big Vince Young fan. Jeff Fisher refused to coach him. I don't buy the whole it was over the offensive quality control coach because you're not going to give up a $5 million a year job. I mean, granted, it's your son, but given the opportunity, I don't think he'd give that job up.
No, I totally
agree there, Josh. I think that this goes way deeper than what is being reported in the media. Not really sure what all of those parameters were that came down for Jeff Fisher. We'd love to to hear your thoughts right here on The Balance. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We do have our chat room open. We'd love to talk with you in our chat room. Also, you can send us a tweet at T-Balance and post your comments on our Facebook fan page. Got some real exciting things that are coming up that we're really looking forward to, and really just busting at the seams to bring the announcements to you. And that will happen. I can just assure you one thing. Next week on Super Bowl Sunday, we will have a very huge super announcement for The Balance. Well, Josh, here it is. It's Pro Bowl weekend. Real quickly, walk us through some Pro Bowl action, and then we'll jump into some NCAA action. And as always, right here on The Balance, you're going to get a full balance, your daily balance of sports.
Well, first of all, for those of you who listened to the daily wrap-up yesterday, I said I don't watch Pro Bowl. I think I'm going to check it out for a little bit. I can't promise anybody I'm going to watch the entire game. I'm going to tune it in, see what it's all about. Kind of looking, kind of excited to see Peyton Manning play with the horseshoe on the side of his helmet at least one more time. I know me and Tom disagree. I, however, do not think Peyton Manning will be back. I don't see any reason for him to return. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of the all-stars who didn't make the Super Bowl. Like to see Mark Sanchez. I don't know if he's going to be there. I know Manny's going to be there. Reggie Wayne's going to be there. Odds are, even if Manny does come back, it's the last time he's going to get a chance to go past to Reggie Wayne, so you know he's going to want to get Wayne into the end zone. I'm looking forward to seeing if the Pro Bowl's all as cracked up to be. I will, however, admit that maybe I didn't get the Pro Bowl enough credit yesterday. Maybe it was a bit too quick to write it off. So that being said, I'm going to tune in to watch the Pro Bowl tomorrow. What's your thoughts on the matter, Tom? Basically, I want to see three things in the Pro Bowl.
I got too many things going on here, Josh. I apologize. I got to keep my mic on. I try to turn my mic off because I'm moving around. But you know what? Hey, guys, I'm stationary now. All the ADD things are cleared out of the way now. We've got the show up and running. We need to get us a full-time producer that can handle all the buttons and all the shiny stuffs and all the different window screens that pop up. That's right. Our producer, Max the Dog, is sleeping right here beside us right here in the Balance studio. But anyway, here we are. It's Saturday, January 29th, the last Saturday in the month of January. Where has this year gone? And I tell you what, it's been an exciting year, exciting month for sports, I should say, exciting year. The year's just beginning. Maybe I'm just rushing it along, Josh. But we, like I said, we do have some exciting things to talk about. And the Pro Bowl is I guess it's the NFL's equivalent to the All-Star Game of as perhaps the NBA or MLB. You know, real quickly, Josh, here, and I want to shift gears just for a minute here, and I want to take some time here to dedicate this show to Officer David Moore of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. David Moore is a police officer here in the Indianapolis area, and what we're going to do, he lost his life, unfortunately, a needless loss, and a lot of times we just do not respect a police officer and the jobs and the lives that they put on the line. And we salute you, Officer David Moore. He passed away from a gunshot wound, got shot in the face after just a routine traffic stop, and very quickly turned to not so routine. And the accused actually left right after shooting David Moore and went and robbed a Dollar General store, and they found him at a local residence not too far after that. The 29-year-old suffered multiple gunshot wounds during a traffic stop near 34th and Keystone Avenue here in Indianapolis. The grave results of officers' MRI led Moore's family to decide to eventually take him off life support. Although Moore passed away peacefully Wednesday, before that happened, Moore's family decided to donate his organs and to keep him on life support until that process could be completed.
And so that's just the kind of guy that he was. And if you're not an organ donor, I would encourage you to do that. It's real simple to do. Just go down the license branch and tell them that you want to be added as an organ donor. Since the shooting, dozens of police have been keeping vigil at Indianapolis's Wishart Hospital as they waited to hear news about Officer Moore's condition. Early Wednesday, it was announced that, in fact, that Officer Moore has lost his life in the line of duty. We dedicate this show to Officer David Moore of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. At this time, what we'd like to do is just take a brief 60-second moment of silence, and we'll go into a commercial break, gather our thoughts, and we will be back again. This show is dedicated to IMPD, Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Officer David Moore, who passed away due to gunshots after a routine traffic stop. So the next 60 minutes we are going to take as a moment of observance for Officer Moore, and go to a commercial break, and we'll be back.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
My name's Tom. If you tuned in right during our moment of silence, again, we're dedicating this show to fallen off IMPD officer David Moore. We took a moment of silence to observe and remember him as a very fine police officer here in the city of Indianapolis. And it's been a sad week for police officers across the nation. But we come out of our commercial break with the college fight songs, because that just leads us right into our segment to talk NCAA. And Josh, break down the NCAA for us this week. I know IU had a big win, and break down some stuff here locally. And we'll come out of that and we'll talk some football. So go ahead and spend the next few minutes wrapping us up on the NCAA.
Well, story.
But, yes, you had a big win the other day. But Syracuse women's coach Quentin Hamilton is being investigated by the U.S. Department of Education over sexual harassment charges made by Leanne Lampkin. She accused him of inappropriate texting and touching. Syracuse has found him not guilty. So I'm wondering, Tom, if maybe you have any opinion or idea why the Department of Education would still be investigating him. Even though Syracuse University found him not guilty, I'm wondering if maybe this...
You know, I'm not sure the Department of Education would be investigating him, probably just because of the fact that he was... It's a university, and it has to do with the education of students, and they have jurisdiction, ultimately have jurisdiction on that. I haven't read the full story on that. I did see that on some of the tickers this week. It's just been kind of a crazy week for me, so I don't know, but we can certainly have some information on that and try to get that to you in some maybe later on in the show and some or in the wrap-ups later this week. But, Josh, it was a huge week for IU. So go ahead and break down what happened in the NCAA this week and what's going on as far as scores and stuff in the NCAA.
Saturday, Texas beat Kansas, and on Wednesday night in the game I watched, and if you haven't seen BYU or San Diego State play this year, you need to. BYU, led by Timmer Fredette, knocked off San Diego State. We are now down to one undefeated team in college basketball, number one Ohio State. Now back to the IU thing. I'm a huge IU guy. My living room's decorated in IU. Most of my wardrobe's in Indiana University. I'm going to say that was a fluke. IU's not as good as a team that beat Illinois on Thursday night. I'm going to say that Illinois just played a bad game. I'm not impressed by IU. It's impressive they beat a top 25 team, but that does not all of a sudden mean that Tom Crean and the Indiana Hoosiers haven't figured out and that they are back. That being said, they're 11-10. If they can get three or four more wins, we can make the NIT. I know for most of these Hoosier fans out there, we're thinking that's not March Madness, but you know what? We haven't played anywhere in the month of March in the last few years. If we can make the NIT, the College Basketball Invitational, some type of tournament in March, I'll take it. At least it'd be a step in the right direction. Butler continues to struggle. In fact, if the tournament started today, they would not make March Madness. They'd probably make the NIT and have a good chance to win the NIT, but they would not make the big dance. And then in games today, number 5, UConn plays number 19, Louisville, my Louisville Cardinals at noon on ESPN3.com. Number 7, Villanova versus number 20, Georgetown at noon on ESPN. At 1 p.m. on CBS is number 23, Florida versus Mississippi State, for those of you in the Southeastern Conference territory. At 1 p.m. on CBS, for those of you in the Big Ten territory, it's number 12, Purdue versus number 18, Minnesota. At 2 p.m., it's Texas A&M playing Iowa State. At 3 p.m. on ESPNU, it's number 10, Syracuse playing Marquette. At 4 p.m. on ESPN, number 16, Kentucky plays Georgia. At 4 p.m., number 9, BYU plays UNLV on the CBS College Network. At 4 p.m. on the Big Ten Network, it's number 15, Wisconsin versus Penn State. At 6 p.m. on ESPN2, it's number 1, Ohio State Buckeyes, taking on the Northwest Wildcats. At 6 p.m., it's number 22, Vanderbilt, playing Arkansas. At 7 p.m. on ESPN, it's National College Game of the Week. Number 6, Kansas playing Kansas State at 7 p.m. on ESPNU. It's number 24, St. Mary's versus Cortland, another great under-the-radar team. At 8 p.m. on ESPN2, it's number 2, Pittsburgh playing Rutgers. At 9 p.m. on ESPNU, it's number 8, Texas playing number 13, Mizzou. And at 10 p.m., it's number 4, San Diego State playing Wyoming. And at 10 p.m., it's number 25, Utah State playing Hawaii. For 5 under-the-radar teams to watch come March would be San Diego State, who's currently 20-1. BYU is 20-1. Vanderbilt's 15-1. St. Mary's is 18-3. Utah State's 19-2. 5 players to watch come March. Timmer Fredette of BYU. Kimba Walker of UConn. Jared Sullinger of Ohio State. Nolan Smith of Duke. And Jajuan Johnson of Purdue. If I had to give out the 4 number one seeds today, my overall number one would be Ohio State. They're 21-0. Then my second number one would be Duke, who's 19-1. My third number one would be Pittsburgh, who's 19-2. And my fourth number one would be Kansas, who's 19-1, moving over to college football temporarily. Wednesday's National Signing Day. I know Notre Dame looks to have a good signing day. Florida Gators look to be have a good signing day. Today is the Senior Bowl at 4 p.m. on the NFL Network. I don't know how many of you watch the Senior Bowl, but you need to. Almost every player in that game will be picked in the top four rounds of the NFL draft, including the Jake Locker of Washington. There's Blaine Gabbert of Missouri. There's some other fine quarterbacks. And probably the guy I think the Colts will pick with their first-round pick, offensive tackle Anthony Costanzo of Boston College, is in it. So tune in at 4 p.m. and watch the Senior Bowl.
Thanks for wrapping up the NCAA for us. My name's Tom, and as usual, right alongside me is my partner in crime, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh. You can also catch Josh's blogs on our blog segment on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Hopefully, you'll have a good Super Bowl blog ready for us to go this week going into Super Bowl Sunday. Well, aloha, Josh. Honolulu. Good weather out there in Honolulu. The Pro Bowl is here. It's the all-star of the NFL. Doesn't get quite the attention as the all-star games do. It'll be the AFC and the NFC, and it'll be this Sunday, January 30th at 7 o'clock at the Aloha Stadium out there in beautiful Hawaii. Now, I tell you what, it's going to be, like you said, Peyton Manning's going to be there, and it's just going to be a fun opportunity for a lot of players to get out there, unwind. It's not really in the aspect of real football because I don't know that they really hit as hard and do a lot of things as they once did there. But So that's the Pro Bowl this weekend. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on the Pro Bowl. Give us a call here on the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts, 917-889-8516. You can also post your comments on the website, on the Facebook page on Facebook. And I hear all of our archive shows on www.thebalanceonline.com and pull the shows off of iTunes. We have a great time doing this, and we've got some exciting things to announce on Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to be doing a full four-hour show on Sunday, 2 hours on Ustream, and 2 hours right here on Blog Talk. 4 hours on Ustream, I'm sorry, and 2 hours on Blog Talk Radio. I tell you what, I'm just it's just had so much going on. I'm losing my mind this week. That's for sure.
The master made me this collar so that I may talk, squirrel.
So you know, I gotta get things going to get things focused here. So good to have you along. Speaking of the Super Bowl, Josh, it is time to go in deep into the Super Bowl, but I know that we have a segment that we want to talk about. We're going to right into Super Bowl talk. We're going to talk about our favorite Super Bowl moments, Josh and I are. So, Josh, what I want you to do here real quickly is take a few minutes, tell us your favorite Super Bowl moments, and why are they? And we certainly want to hear you, the listener, what's your favorite Super Bowl moments and your favorite Super Bowl time. So, Josh, do enlighten us.
Quick, before I give you my top six Super Bowl moments, once again, the phone line is open, 917-889-8516. My number one Super Bowl moment of all time. The Colts win the Super Bowl 41, 29-17 over the Chicago Bears. The only time I've ever cried. I'm so happy at the end of a football game. My second favorite football moment of all time, John Elway wins Super Bowls 32 and 33. One of the greatest Super Bowl calls of all time, and I wish we had this soundbite up, is when, I believe it was Al Michaels, goes, "This one's for John Elway." My number three Super Bowl moment is Giants and Patriots' perfect season in Super Bowl 42. David Tyree, one of the greatest catches of all time. My number four Super Bowl moment, the Rams stopped the Tennessee Titans at the one-yard line in Super Bowl 34. My number five Super Bowl moment, Brett Favre won Super Bowl 31 over the New England Patriots. I just noticed that I have a couple favorite Super Bowl moments in it with the Patriots losing. Coincidence? Maybe not. And my number six Super Bowl moment, Justin Timberlake exposed Janet Jackson at Super Bowl 38. The only thing that was even bearable about that Super Bowl.
Well, no pun intended, huh? You just wanted to see Janet Jackson's boobs, didn't you? Well, that was a wardrobe malfunction, right? I guess that could be a memorable Super Bowl moment. Maybe more of an embarrassing, memorable lot of Super Bowl memories that are out there. And again, we'd love to hear your Super Bowl memories. Post them on our Facebook page, or you know, give us a call, and we'd love to hear your favorite Super Bowl conversions. Well, yeah, Super Bowl conversions. Do you see? I'm losing it, Josh. But what I'd like to do real quickly is just kind of talk about some of my Super Bowls. And remember the Super Bowl. I'm just trying to remember what Super Bowl it was. But John Elway. And on third and six from the 12-yard line of a 17-17 game, Elway drops back to pass but can't find an open receiver. He scrambles right, running hard, fast forward, and first down marker. He's almost there when he absorbs a shot from Packers safety Leroy Butler and goes helicoptering through the air. Remember that? You're probably a little bit young for that. Yeah. 32? Was it 32? Mr. Josh there on the stat man, Josh, for that. but we'd love to know your Super Bowl thoughts. Obviously, remember when in Super Bowl III before the game, Joe Namath had predicted a Jets victory, even though I'm saying you remember this. I'm just saying this is a memorable moment. Before the game, Joe Namath had predicted a Jets victory, even though the Colts were 18 to 20 point favorites. He led the Jets to a 16-7 win, of course. But the most image of it all, I guess, that comes as Joe Namath leaves the field holding his index finger in the air. We wouldn't hear Joe say a word until he got into the locker room, but the gesture said it all. So he was able to predict it, and hence comes every game after that. Nobody will predict you'll never hear a player, or, and if they do, the media attention that. Now, see, I think Rex Ryan would have predicted a Jets Super Bowl had that happen. That's my thought. But one of the greatest Super Bowls ever ended in the most dramatic of all fashions, with the Giants leading 20-19. The Bills take over with 2:17 remaining and the ball on their own 10. Jim Kelly about 60 yards to get to Scott Norwood's field goal range. Norwood's longest of the season was 48 yards. Buffalo gets down to the 29 with 8 seconds left, and all eyes are on Norwood as he lines up for a 47-yarder. Players on both sidelines pray, and Norwood booms it, and plenty of distance, and up through the uprights. That was a classic. No, wait a minute. He missed that. It went to the right, didn't it? Yeah. See? It went to the right. So, and then, of course, Adam Vinatieri's kick with the New England Patriots, the Patriots and the Rams. 17-17 tie. Tom Brady drives the Pats downfield. The key play being a 23-yard pass to Troy Brown that gives an ultra-cool kicker, Adam Vinatieri, which, by the way, is an ultra-cool Colt right now, just for those of you that are under a rock and did not know that. But Vinatieri does split the Superdome upright as time expires. So that's one of the great ones as well. And then Montana to Taylor in their first Super Bowl in 4 years. The 49ers had scored just one touchdown and to trail the Bengals 16-13 to take a possession of their own 8-3 on their own 8, I'm sorry, with 3:10 left on the clock. With Joe Montana calling the plays, the Niners marched down to Cincinnati 10. Now down to their final 39 seconds, the Niners run a pass play. Halfback Roger Craig, the primary receiver, is a double-covered butt. Taylor, a wide receiver, breaks loose deep in the end zone. Montana fires to Taylor for the latest game-winning TD. I'm going to give up the English language there, Josh, and just let you talk. I have a problem talking. I must have gotten my wife's flu or something. My voice is just not that manly baritone radio voice that it so often is, you know. So I'm losing it. We'd love to hear your Super Bowl thoughts, your Super Bowl memories. Certainly give us a call right here on The Balance, 917-889-8516. We do have an open phone line to talk with you about that. Now, Josh, I see that you brought in the GQ magazine. Is that because you're on the new cover of the new GQ magazine, or what do we got going on here with the GQ?
Cover of GQ magazine, although they do want to put The Balance on the cover. That'd be kind of cool. No, but also, this week GQ released their list of the 25 coolest athletes of all time, and me and Tom sat down and came up with 10 we thought should have been on the list. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. But GQ, 25 coolest athletes of all time. Joe Namath, Mario Andretti, Allen Iverson, Bjorn Borg, Arthur Ashe, Pele, Walt Frazier, Evel Knievel, John Claude Killey, Pete Maravich, my favorite NBA player of all time. I never got to see him play in person, but he's one of the greatest. He was the original number 23. He made 23 cool blown before Jordan or LeBron ever did. Tom Brady, Muhammad Ali, Dr. J, Julius Erving, Bob Gibson, Bo Jackson, Arnold Palmer, George Best, Derek Sanderson, Tim Lincecum, Kenny Stabler, His Airness, Michael Jordan, Gary Player, Jim Brown, Ted Turner, Kelly Slater, and no, not the Ted Turner, who owns the Atlanta Braves. But there were some notable absences that I think should have been on the list. Where's Peyton Manning at? Where's Larry Bird? What about Mean Joe Green? Or Jimmy Johnson, Mia Hamm, Brett Favre, Terry Bradshaw, Michael Andretti, John Elway, or Pete Sampras? Don't they belong in the list?
You mean to tell me Peyton Manning did not make the list of the coolest athletes? After all the cool commercials that he does, my goodness. What about Steve Alford? Steve Alford is definitely one of the coolest athletes of all time. What about LeBron James? Is he on the list? Not on the list? LeBron James not on the list? Are you serious? After that awesome ESPN special that he did, he's not on the list. What do you got to do to be on the list? I'll tell you what we want to do is we want to start the 10 coolest sports talk show hosts. Myself and $2 Bill Josh take up the number one and number two slots. After that, we'll give some props to Mike and Mike. Mike and Mike are pretty cool. What about you guys? What are your coolest athletes of all time? We want to know. Give us a call at 917-889-8516. 917-889-8516. Would love to hear from you and find out who your coolest athletes of all time were. This is The Balance. So glad that you can join us. We're going to be doing this for another 1 hour and 21 minutes today. And we're just gearing up for Super Bowl Sunday. Biting up at the britches. We got a lot going on for Super Bowl Sunday. Super, super Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. That's right. Packers, Steelers. What a matchup it's going to be. Some great Super Bowl commercials that are going to be on. And, you know, last Last week we played a little bit of the top Super Bowl commercials of last year, and would love to hear your thoughts on what you think that your Super Bowl picks will be as far as good commercials and who you want to see good commercials with. 917-889-8516. Here's a little soundbite from some show from some commercials last year. We played this last week. I hope you get a kick out of it. Had a good time putting it together.
Here we go.
Baby!
What are you doing?
I'm gonna work this party!
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
When you're older than most of the fans and coaches and owners, it's tough taking orders from people.
When I first started, I was like, casual Fridays, awesome. Morning. I've kind of changed my position a little.
Taken care of, wolf style.
Oh, oh, oh.
Heidi, we got to get out of here before.
Damn.
All right, guys, we're all set. Bring her across.
Let's go.
Go, go, go.
TV.
How hot is too hot?
I can show you exactly how hot it's too hot for TV.
This is the worst Super Bowl party ever.
Now, Dave, be nice.
Well, he's just saying that because I'm here.
No, he's just saying that because I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got the bug.
Bye.
We're going to make the party right.
Make the party right.
You might have your hands full once. I'll pick up the control over.
Put a bear. Keep your hands on my mama. Keep your hands on my Doritos.
So I'm on a red-eye back from a bachelor party with my buddy Mike, who is a terrible, terrible dancer. He's actually right by... What up, Mike?
Hey, dude.
Yeah, this is how he dances. Ooh.
Should probably retire after this. I don't know.
Good times. I love book club. I'd like to hear you read some words.
Trade machine, thanks Martha, worked its techno magic, triggered my stop loss orders, saved me a pant load.
Hi.
Hey Terry,
we've decided to make casual Fridays all week.
Of course, if it's mandatory, it can't be casual.
Nice pants, Terry.
That's a guacamole.
Maybe after this.
And that milkaholic Lindsay wasn't over?
Lindsay?
Milk of what?
The city of Dallas can't be happy to see that the Pittsburgh Steelers are the Green Bay Packers in Dallas. The Steelers have beaten the Cowboys three times in the Super Bowl. The Packers have kept the Cowboys from getting to the Super Bowl at least two times. You got Big Ben Roethlisberger versus A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers. You got two great defenses. You got two up-and-coming quarterbacks. I suppose you could still call Ben Roethlisberger an up-and-coming quarterback. he's finally matured a little bit. Maybe missing a few games did him a little bit of good. You know, you got James Harrison and James Ferrier. Great Troy Polamalu, great defensive players for the Pittsburgh Steelers and for the Green Bay Packers on defense. You got Charles Woodson and Terrence Williams and B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews III, son of the great Clay Matthews, nephew of the great Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews. You got the Heartland versus Steel Town. You got Cheese Town versus Ketchup Town. You got Title Town versus Steel Town. The Green Bay Packers are 3-1 in their previous Super Bowls. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 6-1 in their previous Super Bowls. They've never met in the Super Bowl. They did meet in Week 15 of the 2009 season. Again, the Pittsburgh Steelers won 36-35. Great, great game. You know, you got some injuries for both teams. It's a matchup I'm very, very excited about. You know, I would have preferred to see the New York Jets there. But it's a great, great Super Bowl matchup. I'm very much looking forward to the Super Bowl party here, though, at the Balance Studio. Like we said, a very exclusive list. Tom makes some of the best wings in the world. So that always makes the game worth watching, whether it's a good game, bad game, mediocre game. Somehow having good food and good friends to hang out with makes it an all right night. I was shipping that was quite a few years ago, but a stripper shortage. Well, half of those 3,000 is probably for Ben Roethlisberger, so hopefully the Pittsburgh Steelers brought some. Jones, on behalf of the balance, I apologize. Your last name is Mr. Jones. Do you want to go ahead and send me a ticket because I at least know your last name? That would be cool.
What did I say, Johnson?
Yep.
See, you know what I got is I've got the NASCAR guy on my mind, I guess. Maybe he'll be there. I don't know. Well, hey, he's a champion, so, you know, I got a championship on my Jones, okay? Well, we'll just call him Mr. J. Mr. J, Dr. J, the sequel, huh? How about that?
That's pretty good. But as far as the question you asked me earlier, expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to arrive to Arlington on Monday and expect the Green Bay Packers to arrive in Fort Worth tomorrow. But Dallas is a great host. It'll be nice and warm, unlike when the Super Bowl comes here. People, when you come to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, you might want to go buy a parka. You might want to go spend some time out trying to live like a polar bear.
Well, especially if the Super Bowl was this year. We're expecting about another 5 to 7 inches right here in the Circle City this week, beginning to snow again on Tuesday. It's been a very cold winter for us, especially here in Indianapolis. And so, yeah, if you are coming to the Super Bowl next year, make sure that you are prepared to dress warm. But I know they've got a lot of indoor venues set up.
Yeah, and it should be a great time. There's several parties and concerts and stuff. And, you know, the Cowboys have the second nicest NFL stadium. Nothing is nicer than the Luke, the oil can, the tin can, whatever you want to call Lucas Oil Stadium. But I think it's a great matchup. The Steelers have been to the Super Bowl 7 times. They're 6-1. This will be their 8th appearance. This will be the Green Bay Packers' 5th appearance, and they're 3-1 in the Super Bowls. They won the first two under the tutelage of Vince Lombardi and Bart Starr. They also won it in 1997 with Brett Favre as quarterback. Yes, he's that old, people. He was old when he won it in 97. But I don't think the NFL could ask for a better matchup. I'm a big Packer fan, although I'm not going to give you my pick until 5:55 to get Super Bowl Sunday, as promised last Saturday on the bounce. But you have Superman. Sports Illustrated put it the best. You have Superman. There's nothing Aaron Rodgers can't do. He's the best quarterback in the National Football League. I'm looking forward to seeing him get on the field and do a good job. You got Clay Matthews on the great. Clay Matthews, nephew of the Hall of Famer Bruce Matthews. You got Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, B.J. Raji on defense. You got Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, James Starks on offense. So unless the Pittsburgh Steelers went to the planet Krypton and bought some kryptonite, they might want to do that if they haven't already, because Aaron Rodgers does appear to be Superman. In fact, I hear Superman wears Aaron Rodgers' pajamas to bed. I also hear Tim Tebow wears Aaron Rodgers' pajamas to bed. But it should be a great matchup. You know, the Packers are trying to win their fourth Super Bowl title. And if Mike McCarthy can win a Super Bowl in the city of Green Bay when you win the Super Bowl, they name a street after you. I wonder what street they'll name after Mike McCarthy. Maybe it'll be the one that goes to the landfill. I don't know. There can't be that many streets in Green Bay not named yet. You have Lombardi Avenue. You have Favre Avenue. You have Lambeau Drive. So I don't know what street they're going to name after him. But Packers are going to show up. Aaron Rodgers can make plays with his feet, with his arms. He can get out of the pocket. He can get receivers open that weren't open, which is something Manning can't do, because he can move around in the pocket. Manny's kind of a stationary, so with the Colts, if you're not open, you're not open. Well, the nice thing about Aaron Rodgers, he can move around, so if you're not open, he can move the pocket and, as a result, get you open. You know, they have a decent running game. They probably won't go over 100 yards against the Steelers. That's rarely done. I look for a great defensive effort. I look for him to get to Ben Roethlisberger a few times, look for him to jam Hines toward at the line of scrimmage. I look for him to not go down 24-0 in the first quarter. Or whatever it was. I didn't see that game. I don't know if it's first quarter, first half, the Jets are down 24-0. I know Tom watched that game, but as a Super Bowl fan and a football fan, I couldn't be any happier with Steelers Colts now. I mean, Steelers Packers. I would have rather been Packers Jets, but you know, the more I think about it, Packers Steelers just sounds better. They're mirror images of each other. They're built on the same tenets, defense, running game, quarterbacks who can get out of the pocket and run. It should be a great, great Super Bowl. I'm going to say it'll go down as one of the five greatest Super Bowls of all time. Nothing will beat Colts beating the Bears. Although I'd say the best Super Bowl of all time, and it breaks my heart as a Colts fan to say this, was last year when the Saints beat the Colts. That's here's time to break down the Steelers.
Josh is mic for a moment because I'm not for sure why I lost my mic, but hey, it is what it is. And thanks, Josh, for breaking down the Packers. Any story is enhanced when the motives of the main characters remain suspect. And one of these stories, nearly 5 months ago, quarterback Aaron Rodgers and his offense linemen showed up for a Green Bay Chamber of Commerce luncheon wearing cowboy hats. Now, I don't know, guys, but these guys, the players say it was all in fun, a harmless release between a release of tension, I guess. I think it was a declaration or an intent stating that they're going down to Dallas and they are going to be the winner. I think it was a declaration of winner by wearing the cowboy hats to the Chamber of Commerce luncheon. Josh, what do you think?
I don't know what that was, but what does that have anything to do with the Super Bowl? What's got the hat they wear on their days off? It just shows you that people put anything and everything about the Super Bowl on the internet. But like I said, I'm not going to give you my pick. If you've been following the bounce, you should know which way I'm probably going to pick. But Aaron Rodgers is a cool guy. I don't care what he wears. He can play the Super Bowl just like an Easter Bunny if he wants to, as long as he shows up. But it should be a great, great game. But don't wear any cowboy hats in Dallas. They might mistake you for a member of the Dallas Cowboys, and you don't want any of that bluesiness or whatever to wash over you this week.
Okay. Well, Josh, I tell you what, it's going to be a good game. The Pittsburgh Steelers will beat Green Bay. And if you've been following the balance, you know that that's been my pick all along, so I'm going to stick with it. The Pittsburgh Steelers will face off against the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl on Sunday for the first time in a title game. Again, that's this Sunday, February 6th, down in Arlington, Texas, i.e. Dallas. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be making their eighth trip to in 45 Super Bowls. The team has won 6 Super Bowls in their history, and their opponents, the Green Bay Packers, have won 12 NFL titles. The following Pittsburgh Steelers here are some reasons why I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be triumphant on Sunday. And I think that, and we're going to get into more detail on this next Sunday on the Super Bowl week. But number 10, I will say, is Ike Taylor of the Pittsburgh Steelers pass defense. Ike Taylor has picked up his game this season, and his 11 passes defense is just a small snippet of what he's capable of doing. And when he sets his mind to it, to the opposing number one receiver, and Taylor's quick on the back pedal and his coverage of Greg Jennings and of the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl will be a key to Pittsburgh Steelers' victory next Sunday. Rashad Mendenhall, Pittsburgh Steelers running game. The running game and Rashad Mendenhall will be extremely important against the Packers defense. One key matchup in the running game will be right in the gut. And I just think that this is going to be a situation where the Steelers will be able to if they can get the running game going, I think that they've got a good opportunity of winning. Aaron Smith with the defensive line with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Smith has been injured most of the season for the Steelers, but if he can go for the Super Bowl next Sunday, it will be a major boost, and Smith is a defensive end that will require attention from two offensive linemen or a tight end, and this will free up Mr. Polamalu, which we know can get into the end zone, and can create plays, I should say, is what I'm trying to say. Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this guy is a great coach. I personally would like to see him here in Indianapolis. What do you think about that, Josh?
It'll never happen. It'd be a great fit, but it'll never happen. The next head coach will be Bill Cowher.
Hey, I'm not going to complain about Bill Cowher coming here to Indianapolis, that's for sure. But no, Mike Tomlin, 38 years old, is going into his second Super Bowl. Tomlin is a gambler, a chance taker, and he's an extreme motivator, and I just think that he's a very big key on them winning. Mr. Hines Ward, I think that he plays a very important part in this game on Sunday and in beating the Packers. I think that Hines Ward is the clutch receiver of the Super Bowl, and he knows how to run very, very precise routes and has a lot of precision about him. So I think Hines Ward is the key to why the Steelers beat the Green Bay Packers. I am losing my voice. I really think that I'm getting what Kelly had this week. So I am losing my voice, but I'm going to make it through. And I promise you I will have everything back to normal on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. James Harrison with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like to call him the Terminator. And the Pittsburgh Steelers' most notorious hitter is James Harrison. He's been fined so many times this season, and I just think he's gonna he's going to get flamed again this week probably. But I think he can own his own chapter of the United Way as much fines as he's paid. And did you know that? Did you know that the fines that are paid go right to the United Way? I had not heard that until earlier this week. I knew that it went to a charity, but I didn't know it was to the United Way. So I guess that it all balances out. That when fines are imposed by the NFL, it goes to the United Way. Troy Polamalu. I tell you what, this guy is the real deal. Troy Polamalu is unstoppable. And so I just think that he's a key part of the win, and he's going to get at get Aaron Rodgers through the middle. Are you engrossed with women's tennis?
Actually, tennis is my favorite sport.
Is it really? You know, I had a buddy of mine one time said, "Hey, you know, watching women's tennis is like watching porn. You shut your eyes and you would swear you're watching a porn." Is that the case, Josh?
I don't know about that being the case, but I will get a little bit into this a little bit later. But I will be the tennis expert here on The Balance.
Well, we'll let him. He can be the tennis expert all he wants. All right. Also, we cannot exclude Big Ben. Big Ben Steelers quarterback. Again, if we can pry him away from the strippers there in Dallas, as we just talked about, there's a stripper shortage in Dallas. So if we can pry Big Ben away from that, I think that he can definitely do it. And the main reason why the Steelers beat the Packers is Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This guy is the magic guy. He can pull a rabbit out of his hat. And guess what he can do? He can win Super Bowls, Josh.
I'm not going to take anything away from Dick LeBeau. He is a Hall of Famer. But if your main reason for picking the Steelers is a guy who wears Depends, you might want to reconsider your pick. He's got to be 75 or 80. But those are all certainly good reasons. I'm going to keep my reasons why I'm picking the team that I'm picking. And I guarantee when I tell you the team I'm picking, there'll be some people that go, "What?" But I'm not going to tell you my pick until next Sunday. I'm going to have a very great, probably the best preview you can get on ESPN, NFL Network, or any sports talk show will happen right here on The Bounce. I've already spent 5 days working on it. I've planned to spend another few days working on it. So stay tuned for that next Sunday.
That's right. Sunday is going to be a great, great day. It's going to be a good, good night right here on the Blog Talk Radio. And also make sure that you join us. P's soundbite music, but that didn't work out so well. And Josh, I think I've got my fix. Look at that! It's amazing what happens when you actually see this little button here that says mute when you unmute. So anyway. And now we got some Black Eyed Peas. As we know, the Black Eyed Peas are going to be performing the halftime show. So are you expecting a Josh? Are you expecting or hoping a Fergie wardrobe malfunction?
Maybe that she might do something that'll make people forget about Janet Jackson. I for one want to complain.
You know who they need to have on Super Bowl Sunday doing the halftime show? You know, really, strippers? No, what they need to have on the halftime show is, what is her name? If my wife was here, she'd be able to tell me. Because I'm always, it's another one of those singers. See, I don't follow those singers. I'm too engrossed in sports and in the real world. I don't, not real world the show, but I can't remember her name, but she's always very provocative when she sings. Anyway, no, different. Not the monster girl, but someone different. Hey, guys, we want to hear your thoughts, 917-889-8516. You can be a part of the balance. We're talking Super Bowl. We're talking football. We're talking the Packers and the Steelers. We've got about 45 minutes left in the show. Give us a call at 917-889-8516. So glad that you could join us right here on Blog Talk Radio and all of our different forms of media. We're very excited about a lot of things that are coming and up and coming here with the balance. And one of the most exciting things will be announced next Sunday on our Super Bowl special. And we want to make sure that you guys make sure that you tune in on this. And we're going to be promoting this show very heavy all this week long. And we want to make sure that you guys listen to us right here on Blog Talk Radio. And soon in, very soon, some other avenues that we have. And one, I'll just give them a hint. I'm just going to say application, and I'll let them simmer on that word a little bit.
Application, like we're looking for a second co-host.
I'm not going to be writing blank checks. They got to fit the criteria. We need a female co-host. Do we not? We need a female co-host. Miley Cyrus on our show. Miley, if you're out there and if you're looking for another party, you can join the party right here on the balance. Support the song.
My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of lonesome. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio.
Moving our hips like, yeah. So what's gonna say? What she's gonna do is she's gonna change the song. When the balance come on, I'm gonna move my hips like, yeah. When the balance comes on, I'm gonna move it. Come on, guys, I think it's catchy. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're talking sports. So glad that you can join us right here on The Balance. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. We do this each and every Saturday. We wrap up all of the sports. Very excited about some of the things that are coming up. Obviously, our Super Bowl special. We've got the Packers and the Steelers. And you can also join our chat room. Just jump right into the chat room right here on Blog Talk Radio. So good that you could join us today. We've got about 42 minutes left. Josh, anything else going on in the sports world that we haven't talked about today other than the shortage of strippers in Dallas?
So if you heard me mention a little bit ago, Kim Clijsters did win the Australian Open of Women's Tennis. And tomorrow, Andy Murray played Novak Djokovic. Will be 3 a.m. United States time for the men's Australian Open title.
Sorry, Josh, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but my thing is, if you can't pronounce the player, then it's not a sport. Although hockey is a sport, so we would have to disqualify most of the hockey players. But with hockey, at least you can. It always ends in the word ski. Almost like Gretzky, you know. Many other hockey players end in the name ski. But Josh, go ahead, break down some more for
it. Two common open challenge right now. I'm going to take you to a tennis match, and Shin, I promise you, if you'll just take the time to go to a tennis match, you'll love the sport of tennis. Tiger Woods is playing again.
Tennis match. I think, do they still have the RCA tennis match here in town? Okay, well, we'll go to the RCA tennis match, and we'll do some reporting down there for the balance, I will do it. We'll go to the tennis match here in Indianapolis. You're right, Tiger Woods is back, and actually, I think Tiger Woods is back in a bigger and better fashion. And I think that look out, guys, because Tiger Woods is definitely on the prowl for another huge championship. And I think that that Tiger Woods is the real deal. I mean, he's been struggling a little bit here coming up here, but we'll certainly, you know, as we get closer to the Masters, we're going to do a lot of breakdown of golf and the Masters and really exciting time. Obviously, today is the Farmers Insurance Open, which is on CBS today at 3:00, and you know you've got Woods and you've got Mickles I know Tiger's been struggling a little bit out there, and this is round two, and round three today, you're right. It was a strong finish by Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. It made them feel better about the rounds Friday on opposite ends of Torrey Pines, and better about the chances of catching Bill Haas out there in San Diego. Haas is slowly turning into the player everyone thought that he would be. He made 8 birdies on the South course with 6 under 66, giving him a 2-shot lead over Anthony Kim into the weekend at the Farmers Insurance Classic. So it's shaping up to be quite a match there, and certainly as the weekend goes along, we'll see how things will be. Mickelson is there with his wife mingling in the gallery this week for the first time since she was diagnosed with breast cancer, so good to see Mickelson's wife there as well. And but we won't see Tiger Woods' wife there. I'm pretty sure that won't happen. Or is she officially his ex-wife yet?
Officially his ex-wife, but I'm a Phil Mickelson guy. I'm happy that Tiger Woods is struggling. He deserves to struggle. I hope he never wins again. It's just my perspective. He probably will, but I hope he doesn't.
Tiger Woods is very overrated, but there again, at the same time, he's one of the greatest golfers of all time. So, you know, props off to him. And quite frankly, I really don't care about his extracurricular activities. He didn't do anything illegal, unlike Ben Roethlisberger or something like that, or Michael Vick or something like that. And I do care about those type of situations when it's illegal. But, you know, really, Tiger Woods didn't do anything different than what a lot of people do. Josh, what are you pointing at? I'm just going to have to ask you because I have no idea here in the Balance Studio. You're pointing. You're trying to signal. I'm not good at charades. Where are we at, Josh?
The St. Louis Cardinals. Let's start with talk about trading Albert Pujols. Are they nuts?
Won't happen. Just like Peyton Manning's not going to go anywhere. Guys, come on. Everybody knows Peyton Manning's going to stay put right here in Indianapolis. Even if it's just for another year, I mean, nobody's going anywhere in the NFL right now because of the collective bargaining agreement. So all you guys can be safe that Peyton Manning's going to stay, okay? Peyton Manning's not going to go anywhere in midseason, so we've got him for another year. That also gives time for the Indianapolis Colts to get some stuff together. And I don't think that Peyton's the kind of player where he says, oh, I'm just going to be with you if you don't win a championship. He's not ready to retire. He's still got a lot of years left in him. He's probably going to retire a Colt. He's not going to go second string. Nobody's going to put Peyton Manning in as a second string quarterback. And no one's going to pay him the kind of money that he's going to get here in Indianapolis. And he's wanted here very, very much so. And Jim Irsay really will do whatever it takes to keep him. If he doesn't stay in Indianapolis, it's just going to be a just plain simply because he doesn't want to be here. And so I think that he's not going anywhere. Albert Pujols, staying right where he's at. He's not going to go anywhere. Absolutely not. There again, Albert Pujols is St. Louis, is Peyton Manning. He's not going anywhere at all. Guys, we do want to hear your thoughts on this. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Post your comments on our Facebook page. Just search the balance there. And so, yeah, it says, look at this, what it says. Pujols will veto any trade proposal. So I think that Albert Pujols is safe, and I'm really excited about spring training, and we're going to really get into a lot of baseball.
Balance is going to cover a lot of baseball this year, and we're going to do a lot of baseball coverage. And, you know, it's just about 30 days or so before the pitchers and rookies report to spring training. So really excited about
it. I agree. Pujols won't be traded, but I'm going to take a different approach based on what I've read. The Cardinals aren't prepared to offer him the money he wants, so you will see Pujols next year either as a Met, a Red Sox, or a Yankee, unless the Cardinals can come up with $30 million
a year. Find a way to come up with $30 million a year. That's going to be very difficult. You're right, and they're not a big market money thing. But at the same time, I certainly don't see Albert Pujols going into the American League at all in any way, straight for a stretch of imagination. The Mets could be a possibility. Certainly the Mets will court him, but that's not a – I don't think that that's anything we have to worry about. I think there again, I think that the Cardinals are going to do everything they can do to keep Albert Pujols in place as the – as the their MVP and their Hall of Famer and their first baseman. And let's face it, he's Albert Pujols. He is the greatest baseball player of all time. And yes, even better than Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, and all of those. Absolutely. So if you have the greatest player of all time, you're going to do everything in your power to make it happen. So if it's $30 million, you know, the Cardinals will mortgage their stadium. They will come up with the money to pay it, and the fans will pay the extra ticket prices to come and watch Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols isn't going anywhere. He's going to be a Cardinal for life. Josh,
I agree. He certainly belongs in St. Louis. But it's a countdown, people, till October. Red Sox, Phillies, if any other franchise out there thinks they could step up and stop it, then certainly welcome. And I don't see anybody that can keep the Red Sox and Phillies from meeting in the World Series. In fact, I think one, if not both, those teams will challenge for 115 victories. The Red Sox have no holes. The only hole I could see in Philadelphia might be right field, because Jason Worth left because of the Nationals. But the Red Sox have absolutely no holes. And if they do have a hole, they can just find somebody to fill the hole. That's one of the nice things about being in a big market. If you need somebody, you just go get them.
Right. And speaking of
big markets, what's going on? Well, I guess, you know, we're not a big market when it comes to L.A. and so forth, but what's going on with the Pacers here in town? You know, we want to talk a little bit about the local sports and stuff that's going on. What I want to do is spend the next half hour talking a little bit about the local sports, and this is a new segment that we're going to be bringing on board here to the balance, and we've got about 30 minutes left on the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and jump into a commercial break and come back. Again, we're dedicating this show to Officer David Moore, fallen officer with the Indianapolis Metro Police Department, who lost his life this past week after a fatal shooting of a traffic stop. And Officer Moore, we salute you, and we dedicate this show to you. We'll be right back, and after we get back, we'll jump into a conversation about local sports, and that's what we're going to wrap the show up with.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours
using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Balance. My name's Tom. In the next 30 minutes, we are going to just wrap up some local sports, and we're going to be doing this every week. We're going to be having a local sports feature here of the Central Indiana Midwest area. We're going to wrap up the Big Ten, some local sports here in the local area. Of course, the Pacers and the Colts are playing some local racing and stuff. Really, if it has anything to do with local, that's what we're going to do, and we're going to really break down local sports. And also during this segment, we also want to let you know we're going to have some exciting guests from here in the local market. So what we want to do really is just kind of break down the Indiana Pacers right now. What's going on with the Pacers, Josh? And Josh, tell us, give us some, if you will, a glimpse into 2012 season. What can we see? How are the Pacers going to end? They started out really, really strong and just kind of, you know, gradually been going downhill and been winning some games here and there, but really not winning enough to make it happen. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about Larry Bird and Coach O'Brien leaving the Pacers and starting from scratch. I don't know that that's exactly what we need to do, but I think that we do have some key players on the court right now that can make it happen. At least our players are staying out of jail, not winning games like they should. I don't know that we're even going to make the playoffs this year, but Josh, where do you think the direction of the Pacers need to happen, and what has happened? What happened on the court from the beginning of the season to now, Josh?
If Jim O'Brien and Larry Bird will be let go at the end of the year, they will be let go. So let's start with who should be the general manager. Donnie Walsh obviously isn't going to come here. He's not going to leave the Knicks. He was here. They got rid of him to hire Larry Bird. They're not going to bring him back. Larry Brown might be a choice. Who knows? Chris Pauling's ready to take over the Colts. Maybe there's been people be a GM on one point and go to another. Maybe Bill Pauling has some interest in the NBA.
Well, I don't think we're going to see Bill Pauling heading up the Pacers. And Phil Brown was here. I don't know that he is a good suit for us. I think I don't see them getting rid of Larry Bird. I do see them getting rid of Coach O'Brien. I don't see them getting rid of Larry Bird. Now, you said you said that with some fairly certainty. Do you have some reason to believe, as far as rather than your own personal wants and desires, that the Pacers are getting rid of Coach O'Brien and Larry Bird?
Actually, I have some friends that work for the Pacers, and I actually have an aunt who works directly for Herb Simon. So, yes, I could say with certainty Larry Bird is in his last year with the Indiana Pacers. There's nothing he can do to save the Pacers, make the playoffs, and make a run to the NBA Finals to save his job. It's his fault we're in this situation. He doesn't know how to trade. He doesn't know how to draft. He doesn't know how to acquire talent. I don't think he recognizes talent. Jim O'Brien's not going to be the coach next year. Let me give you the perfect coach for the Indiana Pacers, Mr. Mark Jackson. He's wanted the job. Here's the player. He's well-loved. He'd make a great coach. If you don't go with Mark Jackson, maybe you go with Lawrence Frank. Maybe you go with Larry Brown. You know, he certainly wants to coach again. There's all types of coaches he could go. He could go get Tom Izzo from Michigan State. It won't be Jim O'Brien. He needs to go. He needs to go today, not tomorrow. He needs to have him. If I was Herb Simon, I'd hold a press conference right now and fire him. He doesn't let the players play. He doesn't know how to run a team. He's an absolute joke as the head coach. the Pacers aren't going to make the playoffs this year, and a large part of it is Jim O'Brien and Larry Bird's fault. In fact, if I own the Pacers, I tell Bird, congratulations, you get to coach the team the rest of the year, make the playoffs. And if he doesn't want to fire Jim O'Brien, fine, I'll fire you and O'Brien right now. But we have some great young players. We have Tyler Hansborough. We have Roy Hibbert. We have Paul George. We have Darren Collison. Maybe it's time we let Danny Granger go. I mean, Granger's a great player. If you put him on the trademark, he can get two lottery picks. He can get two young players. Granger doesn't seem to want to play any defense. We have Brandon Rush. He's a nice guard. We have A.J. Price. He's a decent backup point guard. We have some money to spend. We definitely don't need to sign. We signed Mike Dunleavy, T.J. Ford, Dante Jones. Let them go. Go out and get a free agent. Maybe you can convince Carmelo Anthony to play here. It's not likely, but this potentially could happen. It's going to be a completely different look next year. I say next year, if Granger's not traded, look for Granger, Hibbert, and Hansborough to start up front with Collison starting at the point guard. I think we need to go get a shooting guard in the draft. We need to sign a couple of big centers and power forwards. We don't have any depth up front. We're all wing players. We need a defensive-minded coach. Again, I think Mark Jackson would be the perfect coach. I think he'd be well-liked here. I think people would go support the Pacers just because it was Mark Jackson the coach. What we don't need to do is go to ESPN.com and hire another writer to be the head basketball coach like we did with Jim O'Brien. That's part of the reason he can't coach. He was an ESPN basketball writer. How's that make him qualified to be the head coach? But it'll be completely different next year.
I do agree with you. I think that we do need to get rid of Coach O'Brien. I don't know who we would bring in the mix, but I know there's a lot of good coaching candidates that would like to take a young developing team like the Indiana Pacers and mold them into a championship team. I think that we need to get back to a championship caliber team, Josh. I think the Pacers have it in them, and I think that we'll see what happens. So let's break down a couple other local teams. As we mentioned in the scoring before, is that IU finally pulled some stuff together and pulled together a win against Illinois. So Josh, IU is another team that we've talked about here and on the balance and about the coaching changes and stuff and the situation there. Coach Green, another year, or do you think that if he doesn't get into the tournament this year, which is not looking likely at all, they don't even know that he's going to get into the NIT tournament. I like Coach Green. I think he's a great coach. I think he's got a couple more years left, but what do you think? He's got at least one more year left?
He's got at least two more years left, but I'm going to go on record. Just like I did back when he was hired, he was never the guy for IU. He was never the right fit. He's not the right fit. He doesn't look comfortable. We missed the boat. Bad motto was at Butler. He won the IU job. We went out. We hired Kelvin Sampson. We're in this mess because we keep changing coaches. Why Coach Crean's not the right fit? I don't like him. He can win three national championships, and he's not going to be the right guy at IU. He's not a Hoosier. He has no ties to the IU basketball program. He has no ties to Bobby Knight. He's only tied to the Big Ten. He was an assistant at Michigan State. We're not going to get Rick Pitino. We're not going to go get Tom Izzo. We're not going to go get Coach K. Although I am under the impression that Coach K could be loyal to IU just because of the tie to Bobby Knight. That being said, we give Coach Crean two more years. That'll give him 5 years at Indiana University. Every player on that year's team would be his player, his star recruits. If he can't win then he needs to go. I don't think we can afford to give him the entire 8 years and continue to struggle.
Well, I agree, and here's the thing. I think we need to give him two more years and see what happens there. I think we can put something together. I'm really, really extremely disappointed in the way that the IU has came together this year, and what kind of problems what has been the biggest difficulty? Is it because, I mean, is it injuries? I mean, what is it, Josh? Why is it that, because we've got a good recruiting class this year, and why is it that that IU is struggling so much, especially in the Big Ten, where it matters so much?
95% of our points come from the perimeter. We have no inside presence. And everybody's all excited. Cody's always coming to Indiana University, a great recruit. Wow, we have one big man. Most of our points are still going to come from the perimeter. You're not going to win many basketball games if you can't score inside. So I'm not too terribly excited. I mean, Cody's always probably the best player, will be the best player at Indiana University. But he's not going to make all the difference in the world. We're a perimeter team. If we do let Coach Green go, do not hire Brad Stevens. Are you familiar with the A-10? I don't know if it's probably A-10 at all or not. The perfect coach for Indiana University would be Brian Gregory from the University of Dayton. His team's played defense. He can take any talent. He won last year's postseason NIT. He beat North Carolina. He beat some big teams. He's a perfect guy. Our problem is we're a perimeter-oriented team. You can't win that way. Duke does, but they have inside scoring. Ohio State has a lot of perimeter scoring. They have Jared Solinger. Kansas has a lot of outside scoring. They have some big guys. We have no big guys. Christian Watford, who should be our big guy, wants to stand around on the perimeter and shoot threes all day. Jordy Hall's a pretty good player, but we don't have anybody inside. How can you expect to compete with Joshua Johnson in Ohio State? Oh, Joshua Johnson plays for Purdue. Ohio State with Solinger. Michigan State has a decent inside game. How can you expect to compete with those when you can't go inside and play?
Right.
I agree, Josh. Yeah. Let's shift gears here a little bit. What I want to talk a little bit now about is Purdue. Where do you think Purdue will end up at, and what kind of coach has Coach Painter been, and do you think that he will continue to have good success there in Purdue? I guess it helps if I turn on your mic, doesn't it?
I do think he'll continue to have great success at Purdue. I think he should be the head coach of Purdue as long as he wants to be. His teams play hard. He gets good recruiting classes. Between him and Coach Green and Brad Stevens and even Notre Dame, now they put a fence up around the state of Indiana. You don't come into Indiana and get players anymore. I think Purdue's going to go to the Final Four. I think they could win it all. I know a lot of people didn't think they could when they lost Robbie Hummel. They got Joshua Johnson. They got Etuan Moore. They're a hard-playing team. They make you play for 40 minutes. They're kind of like the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs in the NBA, they insult you. They say you can't play perfect basketball for 48 minutes and beat us. Purdue says you can't play good enough for 40 minutes to beat us. Ohio State did, but that's because they're clearly the best team in the country.
And I tell you what, I'm excited. We're going to be doing a lot more in-depth coverage going into March and going into the tournament. Obviously, the Valence is going to have their own bracket that you can get into, and we're going to have a lot of fun with the brackets. Where do you think Butler's going to turn out? You think Brad Stevens is going to have another year like last year? You think he's going to get into where do you think he's going to be at in the tournament, and how do you think he's going to end up at there, Josh?
In the March Madness this year, they can look forward to winning the NIT. If they can do that, they're not good enough to go to the tournament. They don't play team ball. Something's missing. Matt Howard's going to play in the NBA. Sheldon Mack's going to get a look. They got Andrew Smith. They got a lot of talent. But Brad Stevens, I think, missed his chance. Look at Mark Few at Gonzaga. For a few years, everybody wanted to hire him. He stayed, and now nobody wants to hire him. I think Brad Stevens might have missed the boat. I mean, there's no guarantee he was going to be successful at Oregon, but it was a big paycheck. If he won the paycheck, he missed his chance. He's never going to have another run like that at Butler University ever again. It was an awesome run, but that's why it was a Cinderella story, because it's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It'll never happen again.
Well, as far as big paycheck goes, Josh, he got a big paycheck. Even if it was from Butler, he got a big paycheck. He probably could have gotten more in the NBA, but I think he made the right decision to stay right here in Indiana. Maybe he won't get the chance to coach the NBA again, but I think he will. I think that, that's still on the horizon for him. I think that he finishes out this contract, and he might look at it again. But he certainly did get paid, and I think we'll look for some good things from Brad Stevens this year on the Butler basketball team. So let's go ahead and move in a little bit deeper into local sports. Josh, of course, we're in high school basketball season. Let's talk a little bit about some high school basketball. What's going on here in Indianapolis in the high school basketball arena? And what teams are we looking for? What teams are we looking at this year for the high school basketball situation? And of course, you know, it's hard to cover all the basketball, high school basketball games, because there's a ton of them out there. And so one of the really good sources for and we'll try to have as much of that information beginning to be posted on our site, but it's WGHR.com. Go there to Operation Basketball, and they have the great coverage of the high school basketball and their scores. But, Josh, let's look at what do we need to look at here going into the state and what kind of high school basketball teams are going to be looked at?
Had the 177 straight. I'm trying to find out if they won last night. I didn't get a chance to see. I'm trying to if they beat Carmel last night or not. I do know they played at 7:30 last night.
They did beat Carmel
58-45. So now they won 78 straight games. They left to finish their third undefeated perfect season and win another 4A state championship. And boys basketball is really all about North Central. They have a Purdue recruit. They have a great team. Morris North has some talented players. Pike's decent. There's not a whole lot to get excited about in the Indianapolis area as far as boys basketball goes. I know Avon's pretty good. Brownsburg's decent. Danville's okay. But there's no really spectacular teams in the Central Indiana area. It should be a good tournament, though. Sectional should be open for anybody to win. Unless you're in the Ben Davis Lady Giants sectional, and then you're just playing for second in the sectional. But it should be a good postseason.
Right. Local level, obviously, you know, there's a lot of local teams to cover here. And we certainly want to make sure that we try to get as much of them covered as we can. Obviously, Avon, last night over Zionsville, 68-58. And like I said, we'll try to have a way to have all of the high school basketball scores updated on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, and we'll try to get that done today or tomorrow so that we can start updating you on high school basketball here in Central Indiana and here in the Indianapolis market. Indianapolis Ben Davis 76 over Muncie South 59. Indianapolis Brebeuf 53 over Indianapolis Chouettard 53-73. Cathedral tops Arlington 72-48, which by the way is where my wife teaches at, is at Indianapolis Arlington High School. So shout out to the Arlington High School team out there, even though they didn't put it together. But that's where my wife teaches at. Indianapolis Howe, 56, over Indianapolis Tech. Indianapolis Lutheran over Beech Grove. Marshall over Indianapolis Heron and Northwest over Indianapolis Washington and Pike over Bloomington South, 80-74. Roncalli over Indianapolis Ritter, 44-40. And so, again, that's just a few of the scores with local basketball, and we will have a local basketball section that just covers the whole state of Indiana. You know, again, we want to make sure that and guys, and I want to point this out to you also. If you like, and this is part of the things that are going to be going on here in the future, but
we're just going to be doing a lot of covering. And here's the thing. If you like to listen to high school basketball, let me give you a great site to go to, www.audiosportsonline.com. They stream high school basketball games all over the nation. So, I mean, maybe you want to listen to your hometown team. Maybe you've moved out of state or something, or maybe you can't pick them up on the radio. Go to that website, www.audiosportsonline.com, and they will stream that for you. Some great guys on that website, and so shout out to them, and we hopefully can have them on the show at some point too as well. But audiosportsonline.com they stream all the high, not all of them, but many high school sports across the nation. Well, guys, we're coming down to the 10-minute mark right here on The Balance. My name's Tom. As usual, right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. We are getting geared up. I mean, we are getting stoked up for Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. And we're going to be promoting it all week long right here on The Balance, on the wrap-up. Make sure you catch the wrap-up all week long. Make sure you go to our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, or follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, or post your comments on Facebook. Just search out The Balance. Become a fan. We'd love to have you guys as our fans. We have a lot of fun doing this. And like I said, we're really excited about our Super Bowl show that's coming up next week right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be doing 4 hours live on Ustream and 2 hours right here on Blog Talk Radio. We've also got a very super announcement to make, and we're really excited about that, on what direction that The Balance is going to be headed right here. It's been an exciting journey. It's been so much fun and watching this show grow and grow and grow, and we are so glad that you are a part of our audience, and we couldn't do it without you guys. So make sure that you follow us on Twitter, you find us on Facebook, and you can also download us into your iPods. Just go to your iTunes account, search The Balance, and download us from there. Of course, you can also subscribe to our RSS feed. You can get that right here on Blog Talk Radio on the website as well, guys. And you can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com, or post anything you'd like to post on Facebook, and just go make sure you check out our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Well, Josh, next week it's the Packers, the Steelers. History will be made. Somebody's going home a winner. You say the Packers, I say the Steelers. We have a lot of fun talking about it. So, Josh, what kind of final thoughts have we got here as we're wrapping up the final 10 minutes of the show?
And that's who I'm going to pick. I know a lot of people assume I'm picking the Packers. Some people assume I'm picking the Steelers. I haven't even made up my own mind yet. But you can also email me at $2billjosh@gmail.com if you have any questions about the NCAA or the NBA or tennis or golf. I check that account daily more than I check my Facebook. But next Sunday, somebody will go home a winner. Somebody will hoist the Lombardi Trophy. Mike Tomlin should be the first African-American coach to win the Super Bowl twice. He's already the first coach under the age of 40 to take a team there twice. And I just throw in the African-American effect because I know starting Tuesday is the beginning of Black History Month, and we will feature some famous athletes and stuff on The Balance during Black History Month. We like to take time to observe, you know, the special occasions in history and all that good stuff. So each week we'll bring you a special athlete dealing with that particular.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Not necessarily about Black history. Obviously, that's a great thing. But on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, it's right there on the front page. You can't miss it. Is this day in history on sports. And it just really, we like to post different things that happen this day in history. So just go there to the website, www.thebalanceonline.com, and right there is this day in history. And when you said that, Josh, that reminded me of it. So I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. So make sure you email me if you have any questions about the NBA or NCAA at $2billjosh@gmail.com. I'm going to look forward to a Super Bowl party. And yes, Tom, my mom is bringing the chip dip. I know you're looking forward to that and the brownies you like.
And they're not even the special brownies, right? I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. I don't eat the special brownies anymore. That's just a joke I like to say. So don't get off the air and say, hey, Tom over there at the Balance, he eats the special brownies. No, I don't eat the special brownies. He was talking about special brownies and strippers on his show. Guys, there's a lot more to our show than special brownies and strippers. But anyway, or lack thereof. Anyway, But Josh's mom makes the best dip and brownies that you can possibly have your mouth on. I wish that we had the ability to invite everybody here to the Balance Studio, but that's just not possible. So we've got a select people and those that have been invited to the Balance Super Bowl party. Have their invitations and have RSVP'd, and we're going to have a great time. And we're going to be doing 4 hours of the show right here live from the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're going to have a lot of fun. And along with you guys, with your Super Bowl parties, we want to know about them. So give us a call or shout on your Facebook. What is your plans for Super Bowl Sunday? What kind of party are you planning on having?
Real quickly, if I can, this is going to be an announcement that Tom's going to hear for the first time, too. I have an extra ticket to the Indianapolis 500. And a little bit later on this year, I'm going to tell you how one of our Balance listeners can get a ticket. I already got a ticket for you, Tom. How one of our Balance listeners can get a ticket to accompany the Balance to the Indianapolis 500, which will be the 100th anniversary of the first Indianapolis 500. So stay tuned for that. One of you will be the lucky winner of a ticket to the Indianapolis 500. So, yeah, it should be a great week. We got a lot of big college basketball games going on. We got a lot of games going on today. The Senior Bowl today, the Pro Bowl tomorrow, the NHL All-Star game tomorrow. Real quick note about the NHL All-Star. It's not Eastern Conference versus Western Conference. It's Team Lipscomb versus Team Stahl. They picked teams. How would you like to be an All-Star and be the last player picked? Kind of humiliating. You want it to be tough?
And you know, you were talking about the 100th anniversary of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's why we're excited about that. And we're going to have a lot of coverage on that. And, yes, we will be out there in great force, and we'll be bringing you live reports from the track right here in Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We have a racing season lined up for you for both the Brickyard and O'Reilly Sports Park, which is where the NASCAR and your drag races are held at. We're going to be out there. Actually, I need to correct myself. It's now called Lucas Oils Raceway Park. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. My name's Tom. We have so much fun here on The Balance, and so glad that you can join us each and every day. We do the wrap-up each and every day, and we do The Balance 2 hours every Saturday right here on The Balance. So good that you can join us. Josh, we got about 3 minutes left. Real quickly, what is going on this weekend, and what can we look for this week in sports, and what can we look forward to going forward here into the week, and take us into the 2 minute warning, Josh.
Sportsnet Indiana. Pro Bowl tomorrow, Senior Bowl today, but it's All-Star games tomorrow. Pittsburgh Steelers, make sure you have security around Ben Roethlisberger at all times. They're hiring 100,000 more strippers. Most of them will be.
All right, Josh, thanks for that. And, yeah, that's right. Be ready for a Super Bowl Sunday. Be ready to watch all your sports and support your local teams. And even if we didn't cover it here on The Balance, chances are we will be covering it. And again, we'd like to dedicate this show 100% to Officer David Moore of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, May he rest in peace after he lost his life in the line of duty this week after got shot after a routine traffic stop right here in Indianapolis. A tragic story that we've been covering it on both the local and on the national level. And our hats go off to all the men in uniform, both military, police, firemen, that do everything that they can do. We dedicate this show to Officer Moore, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Moore family. Officer Moore, we salute you. Thank you for your service. Guys, it's been wonderful. My name's Tom. Right alongside me has been $2 Bill Josh. We will see you for the wrap-up beginning on Monday.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a bitch, didn't you? That's all, folks.